Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. It is a day.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Here we are.
Here we are.
What's new?
Literally nothing. I mean, like, well, when people are listening to this, you're going to have heard the Babyface and Teddy Riley battle that would have already happened, hopefully.
Okay, so, assuming it happened, how was it?
It was so good. The sound worked.
How were the memes?
The memes were not as good as the first time.
How was the dress?
The dress was casual.
How was the reaction to the battle?
Very muted.
Yeah.
It was three people in the Instagram live.
Yeah.
That was it.
What a weird experience.
I know.
You go from 400,000 to
down to three.
Three.
Crazy.
Who were the three?
It was
Tyrese.
Tyrese. It was right before Tyrese threw the tile in.
I think that one of the cool things, I'm just going to be honest, one of the cool things about doing 30-something episodes
in
30-something days,
yeah,
and doing three guests every day was the bigger idea of 90-plus guests. You know, I think it is sort of a flex. It's like, yeah, look at what we've done. You know, that's sort of a show-off moment for us, right?
Yeah.
Not everything is smooth, I think. People should understand.
No. So yesterday we were supposed to, like, I went to sleep knowing that we had this episode locked.
This one today.
No.
And then it wasn't.
Well, no. It's that Division, OG Chase B, and Erica Ramirez, we called them at the last minute.
Yeah.
And we made this thing happen.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it was just like, it was 11 a.m. and I was just like, we'd gotten canceled on by somebody else who's coming on later this week.
Yep. And so rescheduled, like, is the proper term.
Postponed. Whatever. Yeah. It was sort of like the Instagram live, right?
Yeah.
It got pushed a couple of days.
Yes.
But it was so disheartening, and you feel like you're letting down so many people.
Yep.
And
you feel let down. You know, we counted on something, and then it was like not the same. But I think out of all of this, what we've shown is you just sort of regroup.
Yep.
You rethink and you make a few more phone calls. And here we are. This is a great episode today. But Jeff, before we get there.
Yeah.
We should talk about Patreon.com.
Patreon.com/It's The Real. That's where we have set up shop, which is to say that it's somewhere where our listeners who fuck with us.
Yeah.
You know, not listeners who are more passive.
Nope.
But listeners who fuck with us and who are with us day in and day out, and they're just like, I believe in this thing.
Yeah.
I believe in these two guys who are doing all these interviews.
Absolutely.
And I like hearing what these guys get from all these artists and personalities, where I can make these investments in them.
Okay.
And so if you go to patreon.com/itsthereal, sign up for one of our tiers. We've got a bunch of them from $2 to way more.
Yep.
And we appreciate everyone.
With that.
Yeah.
We will gift you things, t-shirts, stickers, private Zooms. We did one this weekend. I do want to say, too, I like that point, what you're saying about, like, the real people who fuck with us, right?
Yeah.
Because I think there are people who come and go, but there are so many people who have listened to 307 episodes of A Waste Time with It's The Real, who are there day in and day out with us and want to be a part of this, and those are the people who we see over at patreon.com/itsthereal, and we appreciate those people. And we appreciate the ones who, you know, show up here and there.
Yeah, but it's degrees, right?
Yeah.
Like, I fuck with you if you are helping me pay my rent. Fuck with you a little bit harder than people who are not, you know?
Listen, thank you to everybody who helps keep the lights on around here,
yep,
who helps keep food on the table, and who helps getting these guests on the show through keeping us going every day.
Yes.
So Jeff, on the podcast today.
On the podcast today is Division.
Yo, Daniel and 1985.
I wasn't expecting, well, I mean, you know, I wasn't expecting any of this.
We weren't expecting this episode to happen.
Yeah, but no, I was very grateful that that we were able to make this happen super last minute.
If there's anyone to talk to about their album, it's these guys who have created a masterpiece out there. We waited 3 years for this, and it is a pleasure to talk to two people at the pinnacle of their short career so far, but three albums in, and this one is just like out of here. I mean it's fantastic. We talk about a lot of what went into it, a lot of the realities of putting your album out during a quarantine, not being able to celebrate it together, and the creative process. And I think that was really cool. Shout out to Division.
Yes. OG Chase B.
Yo, that's our guy. That's our guy for, man, 10 years or so.
We did the Travis Scott's first interview.
Yep, we did that. I like how you called him the Travis Scott.
I meant the shoe.
But we called OG Chase B, and we talked to him about being in Houston, his mother asking him to come down there after living in New York. Maybe it's safer down there. The realities of how they're handling COVID-19 in Texas, which is way different than in New York. And we talked to him about his upcoming music and a lot more. Shout out to Chase B.
And Erica Ramirez,
yes.
Who is, she has a dog.
Well, that's, I like that. That's the number one thing.
Well,
Erica Ramirez,
yep.
Dog owner.
She is a dog owner. The dog, Diego, peas on flowers.
Oh, I thought you were going to go into the fact that you wanted Diego
to be named Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Erica Ramirez, dog owner, also does Illy Magazine.
Yep.
But, you know.
ILY, short for I love you.
Yep. Dog owner, though.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to go with.
Yeah, and she has a Patreon, and you should contribute to that as well.
And she's a great person and has great...
There's a lot of great stuff about this episode. Let's not shower it all on Erica. Let's put it on the flowers.
Here's what we're going to do first, Jeff. Mm-hmm. We're going to get on the phone with Division. Daniel, 1985, what's happening, guys?
What up?
What's up going on?
What's good? How are you guys doing in these just unprecedented times?
I guess I'll start. This is 1985 talking. We just released our album a few days ago.
Yep.
So for me, it hasn't seemed any different because the last maybe 2 months, maybe like 6 to 8 weeks, I was already quarantined, just working on the album, just kind of like in go mode every day, you know, doing 14, 15 hour days, just, you know, putting all my focus into that. So when everybody else started saying they're going crazy, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't get it. Why? Like, what's the difference? Because I literally hadn't been leaving my house for like weeks at a time.
Yeah, but it's got to be weird to finish an album and then not be able to like go out and like hear it in clubs and, you know, to
hear it in cars driving by.
Yeah, the way that like it's meant to be heard. So like that's got to be like a weird thing, right?
It's super weird. I think a lot of the feedback from a lot of people is just like, I'm so used to listening to Division with another person,
yeah.
Or, you know, in a certain setting, I'm now just here by myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing I'm seeing is people are finding ways to kind of like have their own like in-house jam with it anyways. Like people, I've seen a lot of people, girls and stuff, like decide they're going to get up and get dressed and pour up a drink and turn on the album over the past couple of days. So I guess they're just trying to recreate the experience on their own.
I think there's always something special when a verse comes in, when you have a feature come in. Does it still seem like just sort of like mind blowing to get something back from Bougie Bonton?
Oh, come on. That was a flooring, legendary experience. And the crazy thing about it is how fast he did it too. Like it was very much a situation where, you know, he just kind of heard what we did, loved it, and got right to work and sent it, you know, completed his part. So it was really crazy. Like,
were you guys together when you pressed play for the first time?
Were we together when we pressed play?
No. Daniel had it first, and he's like, yo, I don't know if I'm hearing this right. Here, I'm just going to text you something. he's like, I don't even want to explain it. Just like, just listen to what I text you. And he texted me. I was like, yo, is this for real? I was like, yo, like, what?
definitely our favorite, like, you know, legendary reggae artist probably that's still with us.
Yeah.
On both of our parts, I think.
Well, guys, a few weeks ago, we were on the phone with Tanisha Scott, who obviously, you know, Toronto, obviously, like, Jamaican, obviously, you know, of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, shout out Tanisha. Man.
Yeah.
And family.
We were talking about, you know, growing up in Toronto in the late 90s, early 2000s, like, era of different parties in the basement and, like, that whole Sean Paul vibe or whatever. What was growing up in Scarborough like for you guys, and what was your experience in terms of, like, you know, Jamaican, Toronto vibes?
I mean, it's a different era of it, but it was the same shit, man. Like, we all, a lot of us have that West Indian background, whether it be Jamaica or, Guyanese or Trini and, all that. There's plenty of different cultures in the city, but, our areas in Scarborough that, I came up in, and the environment was a lot heavily, Jamaican influence. You can walk around and talk to somebody that, might look Asian or might look, white or whatever else. They'll still understand like the basics of patois. It's the whole city kind of has a little bit of that touch to it. So those parties, that food, that culture, that talk was all very second nature. And both me and 85 both come from, Jamaican households, Jamaican mothers and Jamaican cooking and, that culture. So, to have somebody like Butcher jump on our track.
Crazy.
Like, yeah. Every restaurant that in the city, we feel like owes us an extra side of food at this point.
I was wondering, so Do It Well is on your first album, Do It Well Part 3 is on this one. What happened to Do It Well Part 2?
That's the question.
I don't know where it is.
I'm wondering if it actually exists or if they missed it. No, they haven't missed it. It's not another song. Like, I've seen a lot of people say, like, is it this song? Maybe Disguise is the second part. No, it's a song that we haven't released yet. Yeah. We're still figuring out how we kind of put that one out there, but it definitely...
Star Wars?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Star Wars, where it's like you got certain episodes at different times, You might get a different part of the piece of the puzzle at different times. It's that kind of idea behind it.
I fuck with it.
Yeah. Another one of our favorite guests on this new album is Jessie Reyes, and we had her down here before the quarantine, and we sat down with her for an hour and a half, and her spirit is just like unlike basically anybody that we've ever met. She's just very, very special.
Like no other, yeah.
Yo, she's so smart and funny and
warm
and in control of who she is, you know? Do you guys find that the same, whether you're in the studio or just seeing her like outside?
Oh, 100%. Shout out to Jessie, first of all. I knew her first, but me and 85 have both known her for years.
That feels like a flex. That feels like like a dig that you're like making. I knew her first. Got it.
Because the relationship started with me. But at the end of the day, 85 and her team and our teams of all the connections are they run deep. And for sure, 100%, she is who you're seeing there. She's so alive, so. Smart and funny and fun and playful, but still, serious and has an agenda and has goals and aspirations. It's crazy. And I think 85 might have even been the one that suggested her for the song. So that's really the flex.
Yeah. Shouts to him.
I think that song is just, it's written so smart in all ways, and it's nice to have someone who can like speak the same language as you, singing at the same time,
For sure. Yeah. That's what made that song so special for us, because we had always wanted that perspective on it, but it's not like you can just ask anybody to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you guys are sort of known as like very press averse, right? Like you don't do many interviews. But I feel like with this album, you guys are starting to break out of your comfort zone in that respect. So, Daniel, like, what was it like to get the phone call from the Joe Budden podcast? Like, what was going through your head when that came in, when they said, like, hey, it's Rory?
I was just kind of thinking, oh, okay, here we go. Because I know how they do. I've watched the podcast before, and I know how they do. They surprise people with phone calls. And,
yeah.
I was just kind of like, all right, here we go. Where are we going this? I don't know if it's going to be a topic about, relationships or anything. But, it was about the album. And, shout out... anybody that was taking it and loved the album, and I appreciate their opinions on the music.
Have you guys always understood the media side to this, where a rollout plan will, you know, constitute certain things, and like a big portion of that is like the phoners to radio stations, is getting on podcasts, is like, you know, showing your face, or were you, you know, essentially like okay with yourselves taking the stand where it's like, no, we'll let the music speak for itself and that's it?
I think it's better both for us. You know, I would say we're still understanding it because we haven't done as much media as other artists for sure. So we're still learning that side of it. But we also, at the beginning, we're just like, you know what, let the music speak. And then as our music voice grows, our actual voices will grow more. Now we're doing a bit of both. So it's kind of like going hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think also, you know, September 5th was a very special album for just so many people. Obviously, for finding you guys the first time, Hallucinations was just a monster of a track. I think that a lot of people had this idea where it's like, okay, OVO should have this monster behind them and the whole building should move in a certain way. But I think when you look at what you guys have done, what the whole OVO has done in terms of like letting the music, you know, find its audience and people really like become this cult sort of you know,
following?
Listenership.
Yeah.
And allow that to organically grow. That's been special. It's sort of like what Dreamville does, you know, in where they're not sort of shoving things down your throat. It's like, let it build and build. So by your third album, what was the biggest like learning experience you guys took going into this whole thing and in releasing this project now?
I think making everything feel natural and like making it always about the music first, you know, because you, as we have been getting more into press and the media side of things, you can definitely get swallowed by that. You know, there's so much that you don't think about when you're just in artist mode. You know, the first couple albums, we were just in artist mode. We were only like in the studio at the tour. So now there's a whole other side of things that now that we just like go with it naturally and let it flow, it's been cool to see how it grows in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. And on this project, you know, you're speaking about, you know, the OVO side of things. It's kind of like, you know, this album we actually, you know, got a chance to really work with, you know, the team kind of a bit more, you know. Getting Party, shout out to Party, by the way, sorry.
Yeah.
He came through and killed on Friends, which, you know, was even an assist with Drake, because Drake helped out on that one. That was kind of a concerted effort between, you know, Drake, Party, and us. And, you know, it was a play that we wanted to make because we're like, you know, this time around we want people to really be able to experience us doing different things and having different angles and understanding that there's way more to the vision than we've shown. We're just slowly opening the door for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously touring is not a thing right now, and so... Mm-hmm. The question is, like, are you going to be doing like some online performances? Are you going to be doing music videos? Like, how are you going to continue to roll this out so it doesn't just like exist here and now?
We're still kind of putting every piece of that puzzle together, just because kind of, you know, this whole quarantine thing kind of came out of the blue.
Yeah.
But we definitely plan to still be, you know, still interact with the fans, still find ways to be creative and get things to them and connect with them and, you know, really build out this album. So, you know, it's still week one. It's not even a whole week yet.
Yeah.
For us. So we're kind of just, we're pacing it and planning and strategizing with the goals.
85, I know that we were particularly excited when we first heard that you were collaborating with Justin Timberlake. Obviously, you guys put one song out, but we understand that there's a bunch more in the tuck. What was your experience like working with someone like Justin?
Oh, man, Justin is the greatest. I always knew he was really good. I didn't know he was as like hands-on as he is in the studio. Like, he writes, he produces, like, he's such a musical mind that I don't even know if people can really see from what he does, because he does so many different things. But in the studio with him, he's like, he's phenomenal. And yeah, you're right, we definitely have at least four or five other songs that we're trying to figure out the best way to like reveal those tracks. He's been in Trolls mode for a little bit. And even with Trolls, like, he does so much on that. I didn't know he was as involved as he is, but he basically, like, writes the whole soundtrack to the Disney musical that it is, you know?
Crazy.
So, like, right now, obviously, everything's a little bit different because of the quarantine, but we had already talked about, like, right now is when he was supposed to be going through the release of Trolls, and then we were going to get back in the studio. I'm not sure how soon that's going to be, but we definitely exchange ideas back and forth, and we text all the time, so it's been really dope.
Guys, I'm just curious. I'm sure, you know, having worked together for so long, you guys have a shorthand, you two, Daniel and 85, have a shorthand when you're in the studio. I'm sure that you've also worked with other people who are very prolific and very smart, but may not have the speed and the ease at which you guys work together. Is there a situation, and you do not have to name names, but is there a situation where you've worked with an artist and you felt like, man, like, I thought this was going to go, like, really smoothly, and we would just, like, hit it off and produce something in, like, an hour's time, and it really did not go that way?
I don't think so for me. I mean, I'm not nearly, I haven't been in as many rooms as 85, obviously. He's been, you know, he's super producer, been with a million different people. I'm sure he might have a story. Maybe he's got a story, but I don't think I've been in with anybody that I've kind of been like, ah, man, I really hoped that this would have gone a completely different way. I don't think. You, Pete? What do you think?
I've been in one or two sessions. I won't name the artist, but yeah. A lot of that, it comes from, like, I think the new way of a lot of artists working is just them being in their own space most of the time at home by themselves. So it's not like they're necessarily used to having a producer or just anybody in the room with them, you know? So when I do go there and try to collaborate in the room, like on the spot, in the moment, there's definitely been artists that you can tell they're just not familiar with that. So it throws them off. And I get it, you know, like everybody has their own process.
For sure. And also...
And every day in the studio... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, one thing that a lot of people, I mean, I'm sure you guys know, but a lot of the fans don't realize, you know, every day in the studio, you don't make magic, you know? Some days you're just in there just having a conversation that might lead to a record 3 days later. Sometimes you're in there just listening to songs. Sometimes you only get one line out of you, you know? Every day isn't we sit there and we hit it off. Even with me and 85, you know, some days we go to the studio and before we realize it, we spent the past, you know, 5 hours talking about a situation or something like that. So, you know, that's just how the studio goes as creatives, you know.
No, for sure. And I think especially now when you have people who are isolated and not amongst other human beings, a lot of people are grasping at the chance to do something, but also the reality that maybe creativity is not there for them in that moment. And, you know, you talk to people who are like, yo, I really, really, really want to create. And some people who are just like, no, I don't want to force it. It'll eventually come. So when you guys are taking 3 years to put out a project, I'm sure that you've gone through those days where it's just like, let's not force it. Let's let it naturally just flow.
Oh, for sure. And the thing with us too, what a lot of people don't realize is that the big gap between even our albums, we didn't even notice it because we were on tour. We were touring crazy. Our whole schedule was just show because, you know, the live part of Division is such a big thing with us.
Yeah,
you know? It's a like a very big part of what we do. You know, for anybody that hasn't been to a Division show, so the amount of touring that we did kind of made the time fly by differently in our eyes. Before we realized it, we had, you know, DMs filled with, yo, when you guys coming back? And we're like, oh, shit. You know, so it was a lot of that, really.
Are you guys together right now? Or are you, like, not? I mean, like, because it's got to be very weird during a quarantine to not be able to celebrate your album coming out together or to have, like, you know, like that's a very real thing, right?
Yeah, well, you know, we have the kind of relationship and the chemistry that's like we've made songs off of voice note to each other before. So this is nothing new for us really. I mean he's probably like what are you like 20 minutes away from me right now? Maybe?
Yeah.
15? Yeah, like, yeah, like you know it's not
I think for us we're so used to kind of just like getting it done any way we have to get it done. So even right now the conversation like with our whole team is like what next, you know, we've done the whole build up to the album, and this would have been when we started the press tour. We didn't really get to do any release parties or anything like that, but we still technically have to fulfill the album rollout, you know? So where do you go from there? And I think we're all just learning. Like, every day is going to be a new revelation as far as, you know, what this pandemic means to how we consume music and how we can somehow connect with fans and how do you put on a show? You know, I saw Erykah Badu was putting on shows from her, I guess it was her house.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like mm-hmm. a full band in the house. You know, so there's like all of those conversations like, well, what next? If you can't tour for the next who knows how long, do you make your fans wait for that long, or do you somehow figure out ways to, you know, reconnect outside of just having the album on streaming platforms?
Or do you go like to each fan's house one by one and just perform it for them?
Yo, have you guys been as invested in the Versus Instagram battles as everyone else in the world is?
Yeah,
beautiful. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait for the Teddy and bass again.
Tonight. Well, if okay. it happens, yep. like, what if it doesn't happen again? What if the sound is again all fucked up?
Oh my god, yo, if that doesn't happen again, oh my god, they can't afford that. They gotta figure that shit out. So go in your cars. Open up your Spotify or your Apple Music and play your shit. Cause otherwise, yeah, like everybody's gonna be disappointed. But we're definitely gonna be in that one tonight.
Like, can you imagine the feeling? I'm sorry, just the feeling of just like starting the battle and your sound being all jacked up. And there's 200,000 people in there just roasting you.
Oh my god! Well, then it got up to 400,000.
Yeah,
you know.
I will say that the jokes from Teddy's mishaps is like some of the best stuff that I've seen online in a while.
For sure.
It's incredible material.
It is. I wish that Babyface would show up tonight dressed like Teddy was the other night just to start it off. It would be incredible. Well, listen, guys, congratulations on just a tremendous piece of art. This is something that, regardless of whether you guys realized it was 3 years or not, it was a long time in the making, and a lot of us are just over the moon about how it was put together sonically, lyrically, guest-wise. Everything is just A++, you know? And we really appreciate you guys. We're sending our love to you and yours. Take care of yourselves. Stay indoors. And hopefully we'll see you in real life down the line.
Thank you. Really appreciate you guys.
We'll talk in a bit.
No doubt. Take care. Jeff, now let's get on the phone with our friend Chase B. Chase!
What up?
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
Yo, what's happening? How are you?
I'm bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, shouldn't you be playing like Fortnite right now?
Man, I'm not good at that game at all. I wish I was, but I'm pretty trash at that shit.
Yo, Chase, does this happen to you as much as it happens to us that people put that clip from basically Travis's first interview like ever?
And, oh yeah,
like all the time in our timeline.
And people, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Of course, well, you were there.
Yeah,
right. Apparently.
Yeah, but I'm just curious as to whether people are just like, "Yo, I can't believe this happened." It's like, yeah, it did.
Yeah, you know, it's Travis used thing, to yeah. smile.
Yeah.
Chase, given that you are putting out music, have you been especially creative in the quarantine, or have you just been like, you know, struggling to focus and figure out like what your
Have you found your rhythm?
Definitely found a rhythm. I'm like pretty happy that I can have this like time off. It does come in like waves though, you know, like sometimes like when it first started and everything, I was like literally every day probably making like 7-8 beats a day, you know, just Jeez. Like, you know, just taking fucking inspiration from everything and everywhere and all the ideas that you've had like stocked up in your brain for, you know, whoever knows how long or whatever. And then you just have those days where it's like, man, I did this shit yesterday, you know, I know I can do it again tomorrow and next week. And, you know, so it's just, there's sometimes you just want to like sit down and not do shit. And then there's other times where you're just like, oh, let me take the advantage of this time, you know? So, but for the most part, I've been like really productive. So,
well, I mean, like when you look back on the beats that you've made inside, how many would you mm-hmm. say are good and like up to par for what you do?
Man, definitely a good majority. Just because the time but I had to like just put so much detail into it. You know, like I feel a lot of times like you have like a time crunch, you're kind of just like rushing shit out or just, you know, just fucking, you know, just doing shit for the repetition of it, you know?
Yeah. Where now I just like do shit for the clout, to be honest.
Same, bro. Who doesn't? To be honest.
Yo, Chase, it's funny. We've spoken to a lot of people over the last month who have said that this quarantine, look, there's a lot of really devastating stuff that's happening in the world. I think they're choosing to look at, like, the bright side of it, which is a lot of people we've spoken with have been on the road for quite a long time, yeah, right? And they're like, yo, I finally get to like sit down and focus and be with family and like just take that pressure of living in a hotel for like, you know, night after night after night and all that stuff. That's put to the side and they're at home. Do you find that as well? Because you've been traveling quite a bit over the last decade as well, you know?
Right, yeah. It kind of sucks that it's at the cost of a fucking global pandemic, but you know, I kind of realized, like, you know, if I wasn't like a traveling DJ, this pretty much would be what I would be doing, you know, just kind of at home working on music, watching movies and shit. You know, I don't miss outside too much, you know, definitely not as much as other people do.
Oh yeah.
You know, but you know, it's definitely a blessing to just be able to just sit down. Like, I've never been home this long, you know, since, like, high school. So.
Yeah. Well, where are you right now? Are you in New York? Are you...
I'm in Houston. Yeah, I got here maybe, like, 3 weeks ago. So I was in New York for, like, the first couple weeks of it. And then I was one of those guys that just got on the plane just because I wanted to come down here. And my mom was like, I don't know why you want to stay in New York. Like, it's the epicenter. Yeah.
Well, she's so right.
You just got to do it. Right. She's definitely right. She's been watching the news for sure. And, sometimes you just gotta do what your mom wants you to do. So I was like, fuck it. You know, I got on the plane.
Well, what was that plane ride like? I mean, like, because if that was two weeks into it, it must have just been empty, right?
It was kind of weird. I thought it was gonna be, like, completely empty. So I got to the airport, and it was just, like, a sad, sad story, man. It was, like, obviously all the fucking food spots were closed. I was in Newark, just FYI.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, everybody was, like, afraid to even... you know, like, fucking bump into one another. You know, it was, like, super sad to just see, like, the disconnect with everybody. And then, so you get to the gate, and everyone's, like, standing, like, 6 feet apart to get on the plane. And, but it wasn't, like, an empty flight because now, you know, usually, like, from Jersey to Houston, there's probably, what, like, 8-9 flights a day direct, you know? And now there's, like, two. There was, like, one at, like, 9 in the morning. There was one at, like, 1 p.m. or something. So I guess, you know, those people are kind of, like, spread thin when it comes to flights. But a lot of the people on there were fucking like crew members and shit.
Oh,
and
that so makes sense. Yeah.
When it was like the first day of this new rule that the governor put in place for Texas, where if you fly in from certain states or whatever, you gotta like basically
you have to self quarantine for two.
Self quarantine. And so like they made me fill out this paper with like my address on it and like my driver's license number and all this shit. And
did they
like,
take your temperature?
Not at all. It was just something saying that I wouldn't leave my crib for the 14 days.
Wow.
And so I'm in the crib like, yo, are they really about to, like, I didn't want to, like, go out to eat and, like, you know, getting the food and shit like that. Because I'm like, what if they really come and I'm not here?
Yeah.
And I get, like, 6 months in jail or something.
That would be the worst.
Talk about, like, a lot of time sitting around.
Exactly, yeah.
Yo, you can make so many beats.
So you travel back home. Has it been just like quiet down there as well? Like we know what it's like up here. You walk the streets.
Yeah.
Like we only go out like at midnight to go get groceries. You know, because we got 24-hour spots around here. We don't have to go out during the day, and that's honestly like a good thing. What is it like down in Texas right now?
Man, I'm not gonna lie. Shit is
the same.
Shit is pretty fully functional right
now.
Oh
my god,
I don't know how good or bad of a thing that is, but there's definitely like there was even like traffic the other day. I was like, all right, somebody's not following the rules.
That's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's definitely, you know, you can feel it. Like it's not like people just sitting down at restaurants and going to bars.
Are people wearing masks?
Yeah, for the most part. Like you go to a grocery store and people are wearing masks, and then there's people that just, you know, are just caring about. So, but I guess like the governor said, I guess things aren't, you know, like the numbers aren't.
Not there
like
yet.
Yeah. So,
why does it sound like Chase is about to do like a walkthrough at the club?
Exactly, right? Yeah. I got a gig next week. I'll just bring my own mic and shit.
Yo, having been like a veteran of a lot of gigs in Vegas, Like, what do you think, like, that town is, like, just basically shut down?
Man, I want to see it, to be honest. I was thinking about that shit the other day. I want to go just see, like, what Vegas is like right now.
You know? No lights.
I can't even imagine that shit.
Well, actually, when you were in New York, like, you live close enough to Times Square that you could have walked over there. Like, did you, what did you see when you were in New York?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I probably didn't leave my apartment, like, at all. I'll wake up every day and I'll run, like, 2.5 miles, like, down the West Side Highway.
Yeah.
Which is basically, like, for me, like, down to, like, 14th Street or a little bit further than that.
Yeah. That must have felt like I Am Legend.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing in New York, it was like, since all, you know, everybody's fucking equinoxes and shit are closed.
Yeah.
Outside was like a gym. So you like, you walk outside and there'd be people fucking doing their stretches over here. People like doing their little like fucking calisthenics and shit over there. You know, it would be mad people outside in the morning working out and shit.
And you just
like,
got to avoid them. The yeah.
Yeah, but Chase did hurdles, like, right?
No, I couldn't do hurdles.
Oh.
But I did run track, though.
Yeah.
That was me just trying to rub it in.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, right.
No, he did not do hurdles.
I wanted you to say it.
So now that you're staying back in Texas, is there any reason for you to travel, like, right now?
I mean, you know, so I have an apartment down here.
Yeah.
And, but it's like nothing. Like, I got it in January just because, you know, me and Trav opened that store out here.
Yeah.
So I got a place there so I wouldn't have to like get hotels and like stay with my mom all the time. And,
yeah, for sure.
It was just way more convenient. And, but there's like nothing in here. Like, when I fucking got stuck here, like, I didn't have pots, pans, plates, like, no shit like that because I had just got it.
Oh.
I only spent, you know, so much time here. So, I'm pretty cool now. I got some shit off of like Amazon or whatever.
Oh, you did?
And so some groceries and shit.
So you really like essentially moved in during the quarantine?
Basically, yeah. It was kind of tough. And I still don't have like close to enough shit that I would want to hear. But
I mean, do you feel to, you know, at home down there?
What did you say?
Do you feel at home down there?
Kind of, for the most part. Like in the apartment, not so much, but in Houston, of course.
All my
shit is in New York, so I definitely want to get back to that.
We spoke to Murder Beats a couple weeks ago, and he told us that he was looking to buy a house, and in the meantime, he had been living in an Airbnb, and then the quarantine hit, and he had to negotiate with the owner of the Airbnb to stay there, and so he's living in this place that's not his, and there's like stuff around for like the foreseeable future.
Yeah, but he can cook.
Damn.
Yes, he can cook. Yes.
So there is that.
Yeah.
That's one thing I've been doing. I've been cooking a lot. I'm trying to learn some new dishes and shit.
Well, I mean, like, okay, what's your go-to dish? Like, what are you good at?
I'm pretty good. Breakfast is like a thing, you know what I'm saying? I can always like do the waffles and pancakes and eggs and bacon and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always, you know.
I really thought you were going to stop at waffles and I was going to be like, jeez. This sounds rough.
I'll put those in the toaster, you know what I'm saying? Microwavable.
I know all the buttons. Yeah.
Right. what I've been making? Pastas, obviously. I really like fucking like lemon pepper wings and shit, so I've been trying to perfect that recipe over here.
Oh, you're cooking that at home?
Yeah.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. No, I'm throwing down in here, man. That's like my goal is to come out of here with like 5 or 6 new dishes. You know what I'm saying?
So, obviously, like we said, we've known you for a very long time, and we were really excited when you signed your deal with Columbia. And in doing that, you've obviously been working on a lot of stuff. You put out Mayday. What is the near future hold for you in terms of like releasing your music?
Man, so me and my good friend Ashton, who's on Def Jam, we just dropped a song actually a couple of days ago called Casino. So that's out now. And me and Don have been working on a lot of music. Don Tyler,
Man,
working on a whole bunch of shit. So. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming out. Fucking I'm almost done with my album, so you know, I feel like I definitely want to be outside when all that stuff is going down.
Yeah.
So I feel like
I was wondering
that
like,
definitely plays a major part in some of these releases. For everybody.
Has the quarantine made you push stuff back? I mean, like, because you know, you have put stuff out during a quarantine, and so like how are people responding to it? Like, how do you gauge that?
Man, it's kind of tough. Like, I don't think it's pushed me back yet, you know? I didn't, like, plan on dropping my album in, like, April or anything like that. So, it hasn't affected any of that. With Casino, we just always wanted that song to come out, so we dropped that. And, it hasn't affected me too much musically. If anything, I feel like, you know me, like, I'm not a rapper.
Right.
Yeah.
Not right. Yet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not healthy.
Yeah, things that Chase is going to work on in the crib are rapping and lemon pepper rings.
Yeah, that's it.
So, but yeah, it's just like, you know, everyone's in the studio. So, like, I feel like everyone's production is, like an all-time high. So, you know, getting features back and, like, whatever.
Well, that's, you know, good.
Definitely.
But also, being a DJ and being a popular, like, club DJ, that's, like, the perfect way to gauge whether, you know, a record really hits or if it needs, like, something else. And now no one has that.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably the biggest blow to this shit is, like, you know, I want to hear Casino in the club super bad, and now that it's out, it's like, there's definitely certain songs that you want to wait. Until, you know, it's like, nah, this one has to be like when people are back out.
So who do you,
like, stuff is more like
who do you trust then to, like, to play it? And you're like, yo, all right, because you can go out again, you can drop something in the club and know that that's the one. But who's the person that you can send a song to by email and be like, yo, they co-signed it, then that's it.
Yeah, definitely just other DJs, you know, especially like the radio DJs around here, around Houston, you know, New York. You know, I'm always going to Clark for stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, definitely I just feel like fellow producers and DJs is people, you know, you got to hear that, you know, they just kind of guide you through it.
Who do I have to murder to get on that list?
Hey, man, no comment on that.
Yeah, yeah.
All peace over here.
Yeah.
Chase, we've been checking in on, obviously, like, the people that we call, but we want to know, like, how your family is doing, and have you been affected, like, either, you know, within your circles or tangentially by COVID-19?
I've had a couple family members, actually, that had it, but they all, like, recovered and shit, so I was all good with that.
Thank God,
Definitely very blessed and lucky to say that, for real. I know how crazy this shit is, especially... My whole family's from the East Coast, so, you know, that shit's running wild over there. So, but yeah, everybody's recovered. Everybody's cool. We had, like, this big Zoom party fucking call on Easter and shit. So we all were talking, checking in on each other and shit. So that's all good. I feel like, to be honest, man, I'm like, it's so scary that, you can be fucking asymptomatic. So
yeah.
I was doing a lot of flying in, like, those first... You know, before it actually became, like, a quarantine, and before, like, the whole Rudy Gobert shit.
Yeah.
And all of that, like, when people were, like, really skeptical about it, I was flying, like, basically every day, you know, still.
Like
before. Well, I feel like the middle of March was, like, the real.
Yeah, it's when everything, like, really shut down, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, in February, I was flying, like, every day. So, I'm like, did I have this shit, or, you know, like.
Maybe.
It's kind of scary. Like, even now.
You might
right,
have.
Exactly. Right. So, even my mom now is like, are you coming over for dinner? All this type of shit. I'm just like, I don't even know if I should go over there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. It's.
I don't know if I, like, went into a grocery store and got it. You know, my grandfather lives at my crib.
Man,
or at my parents' crib.
No, that's so like, that shit's scary, and it's like, you know, this is the sacrifice that we all have to make, which is you don't see your immediate family.
Yeah, like, we haven't seen our brother, we haven't seen our mom, we haven't seen our aunt. Like,
yeah, and we do Zooms. Yeah, we do Zooms, like, you know, every week. Yeah,
yeah.
When you did your Easter Zoom. Did you get dressed up in pastels?
I did not, actually, but I did. I had my backgrounds all set up.
Oh, nice.
So, you know what I'm saying? I had all my, like, festive little wallpapers and shit behind me. So, I was bringing the energy for sure.
Was it hectic where there are, like, you know, 80 people in your Zoom?
Oh, no. My family, we keep it kind of chill, to be honest. It was probably, like, maybe, like, 12 of us.
Oh, that's good.
At a time and shit. Yeah, yeah. No, we keep it super chill around here, so.
I don't know if it was like a family reunion.
Yeah. Everybody's wearing matching t-shirts.
Yeah. My dad has this crazy ass beard now. I've never even seen that nigga.
Oh,
like
shit.
That. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Actually, wait, what are you going to do about your hair?
Man, it's out here. You know what I'm saying? It's just growing exponentially by the minute. So I don't know.
Yeah, because like.
Maybe I'll just keep it after this shit.
Like, you know me, I've always had the same sort of haircut.
Yeah.
And I'm debating whether or not to get a rat tail.
For the record, you did order clippers.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get my barber to FaceTime me in, and then just tell me what to do,
and coach you through it.
Yeah, no, like he said he would, and I was like, yo, you're the best. Like this is exactly what I needed. But yeah, it could be a rat tail. So like, you know, I think you're working on cooking. I'm working on a rat tail.
It's very fashion forward. You right. know,
cut
yeah.
your hair and then just. Watch TV for the next month and a half.
Yo, yeah. here's another thing that we know about Chase. Big into shoes, has a great shoe collection. Do you actually switch it up on a day-to-day basis now that, like, it's just you that you're impressing?
Kind of. Like I said, a lot of my shit is in New York. So,
true.
I probably have, like, I don't know, probably, like, 15 pairs of shoes in Houston. And
yeah, but you got a store. Yeah,
right, yeah. There's definitely the store there. And I've gone over there a couple times just to be like, yo, I'm tired of wearing the same hoodie, like, every day. So I'll just go over there and grab some shit.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. So for a little grocery store runs, you just, like, why not just, like, put on a little some type of whatever, just, you know, for the sport.
Actually, have
make sure
you
still got it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, make sure you still got it. Okay. have you been recognized during quarantine?
Oh, just, like, by civilians?
Yeah, by civilians, yeah.
I was actually I was in CVS the other day, and this kid was like, yo, you're not supposed to be out here, bro. I'm just like, hey man, gotta get my toiletries, my nigga. Like, you know, hygiene doesn't stop for anything.
Yeah, exactly. We were walking through Central Park the other day. Again, we don't normally go out during the day. We haven't really gone out at all, like, during this whole thing. And we decided to, like, just take a walk to get some fresh air because we did, like, 6 phone calls in a row, and we, like, needed to get outside. And so we walked through Central Park and got recognized by somebody who works there, right? And we're both wearing our masks, and we're just like, how did you like see this? And then, like, other people, by the way, were just like, oh, we probably recognized, like, you know, glasses and curly hair. And then it's like, no, it was Jeff's Raiders jacket. And the guy was like, I've seen that on Instagram. So,
oh, shit. Wow. Yeah. Oh, he's locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Major drip.
Listen, Chase, we just we're thrilled to hear your voice. We're thrilled to know that you're doing all right, that you're hanging out and hanging in down in Houston. Be well. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. We love you. And hopefully we'll see you on the other side of this. All right.
For sure, man. Love you guys, man. Well, we'll have a big COVID-free party in New York.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or we should do Easter Zoom.
Right. Yeah. I'll wear the pastels next time.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, Joe.
Jeff, let's get on the phone now with our friend, Erica Ramirez. Erica!
What up?
Oh, my goodness. All this energy.
That's right.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. How are you doing?
Today, I'm good. It changes every day. But today, I'm good, and that's all that matters.
Tell everybody what you've been working on while you've been inside.
So I guess, like, within the past month that I've been self-isolating, my routine hasn't changed that much because, as you guys know, I'm very much an introvert and stay indoors as it is. But I've been mostly trying to focus on something I could do creatively that is worthwhile for other people and myself to kind of, like, indulge in. Something that, you know, I talked to both of you guys about is coming up with this newsletter that I have been advertising on Patreon, as far as compiling resources and interviews about emotional wellness, and also just, like, on the spot audio bites of people talking about love. So I'm trying to compile all of that into a newsletter, and I'll be sending the first one at the top of the month. But I'm doing it through Patreon just because, you know, I feel like during these times, you want to give, but also be very aware that you also need to take care of yourself. So I'm going that route for this project for Illy, but that's kind of mostly what I've been focusing on while I'm indoors, and also taking care of a puppy that makes me question if I want children.
Erica, you are one of the most creative people we know, one of the most introspective people that we know. How have those things come to heads while you've been in self-isolation?
So, I mean, I feel like there's something that, you know, at least, like, I know Jeff and I have talked offline as far as, like, intention. Like, I feel like we've always had intention, you guys, I and other like friends that we know as far as creatives had this like in the back of our minds when we've been creating all this time. It's like not like what we do, but why we do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just been like amplified during isolation, because as alone as we are, we're also realizing that we are also somewhat like dependent on one another in order to kind of like survive whatever like mental and physical things that we're going through. So I feel like that is something that has been amplified as far as my creative process and like output has gone. It's just like, why am I doing this versus mm-hmm. like, what am I doing? Like, what can I give and how can I give it in order for to kind of just like calm whatever I can of other people. Like, I feel like my goal has always been to like create a safe space for vulnerability. So it's almost just like, how do I do that while I'm in isolation and also while others are in isolation?
Yeah. We were talking offline about Patreon and how it's so hard to build a community on this new platform when you don't have like existing IP that people know and understand. So talk about the process of like building a newsletter over there as opposed to elsewhere.
I mean, and like you said, Jeff, like we've talked about it, it's just so hard to like even consider asking for anything, like from anyone, like friends, family, like readership. Like, it's just such a brand new concept to me, but I feel like we've all talked about it, probably not enough clearly, the fact that we also need help as far as like creating stuff and like resources and all that. So like just the process of, I guess, the overthinking of creating something that other people would have to donate to get was like hard on its own, because it was just like, should I be doing this at this time? Like, people, you know, are filing for unemployment. And then I think I just had to have like several talks with myself and with like you guys and other like creatives as far as just like, you want to create something that is worthwhile to like all parties involved. And in order for that to happen, like both of us need to feel good about it. And also like not having money or not having enough to survive is a real thing, especially with creatives. And it's been a real thing this entire time. I think it's now more emphasized because we're being honest with how like this economy is pretty shitty. So it's just like, I think that's like the point of the process that was so hard for me, was to get over that and to be very like real with like what I need and what others need and what, like, to find a balance between those two. I feel like now that it's out on Patreon and I'm kind of like getting people subscribed and like all that is coming in, I feel really like almost like motivated, because it's just like, okay, I'm not in this alone. I feel like that is something that I did not even realize would come, like that feeling of being on Patreon, of just like this like community.
Yeah.
Of like, I believe in this and you believe in this. That's like awesome. And it only motivates me more to like give more of like myself as far as like ideas and resources.
Erica, how on a daily basis do you maintain your mental stability? Like, do you reach out to people? Do you look forward to people reaching out to you? Are you texting more? Are you FaceTiming more? How do you stay in touch with other humans?
I'm definitely not FaceTiming as much as I probably should. Someone the other day FaceTimed and I didn't answer the call, and they're like, you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't mean I have to answer your call. Like, I think we just have to be like very mindful that we do not feel, or most of us do not feel the same every single day or consecutively. So that also may mean that other people feel the same way. They sometimes don't feel like talking, and sometimes they feel like just talking the entire day with people just to feel like some sort of connection. But I think that I'm not sure if I'm reaching out as much as I should be, but I feel like I am very aware as to why I'm not. And when I do speak to people, I try to like express why I haven't been, in case they have been looking for me to reach out. I just want to be like very mindful of people's feelings, but also try to be mindful of mine. I mean,
like, that is your character, right? Like, you're not somebody who is always seeking attention. You're somebody who is very comfortable being by yourself and, like, you know, letting people come to you.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I've had like this difficulty with, and I've kind of like talked it through in therapy, is I'm actually like really the space, the self-isolation, the space that it's giving me like more mental space, because I'm also so used to just being very indoors. And I feel a little guilty when others are having a hard time with it and I'm not. So I usually also, that's probably why I probably don't reach out as much, is because I'm taking advantage of this process that's happening with me of just like creating boundaries and like pretty much just thinking of myself first. That's kind of what this space is allowing me to do. So I think that that's like something that is hard to also speak on, especially if other people are not having such like that sort of a time with their space or having more difficulties with it. But like you said, Jeff, like I'm also not that outgoing of a person. Like I'm not, I wouldn't be out for drinks anyway. So I'm not about to FaceTime and have drinks on Zoom with 30 other people, because that's not also something I would do any other time. Eric, and if so, I'm still going to leave like 2 minutes in. Eric, so I'm going to log out.
How about this? Can you imagine a scenario in which you started to date someone and then you moved in sort of quickly because the quarantine was happening and you were living with your new partner just like weeks or a month in?
This is just frightening. The more you talk about it.
Like what happens if you don't like the person once you live with them?
I mean, I've thought about how it would be if I would have like isolated with someone. Like I was dating someone and we ended up isolating together. I could have only prayed that we had a 2-bedroom in case so I could go into the other room or the other person could go into the other room at any time. I think it's just, that is such a difficult scenario to imagine because I start getting anxiety. And then I start getting annoyed as if I am in that scenario. but it's just, I can't. I don't know. I wonder if I would risk it and just be like, I'm out. Like, cause you guys know, like even at like events and parties, like once I need to leave, I leave. So I don't know what I would do if I was in a scenario where I couldn't leave for the sake of my health and other people's health. I feel like I would just like pick a spot in the apartment and be like, hey, so like whenever I don't want to talk to you,
this is my corner.
I'm gonna be over here.
That's like in the office when the Michael Scott paper company.
I just woke up Diego. That is exactly the scenario or the scene I was thinking about, where like Michael has actually 2 spots.
Yeah. Well, because one is his office.
Yeah.
He can't relax in his office.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. Like, I would choose 2 spots and be like, these 2 are mine. But I'm also, like, very aware that I could be maybe a little annoying or, like, cheesy. So I don't know if I would be open to someone telling me to go to my corner, but I would be open. I would be open to having a conversation of, like, hey, maybe it's time for us to go to our, like, individual corners. But I feel like that would be something, at least on the spot right now, that I could think of that I would do, is I would follow in Michael's footsteps in a lot of things, especially in that scene. My gosh, that just gave me anxiety. Sorry, go ahead, guys.
What's something else that you're like working on within quarantine? Like, are you developing any other skills? Are you like learning to juggle? Are you are you cooking?
I mean, I have been baking. Oh. And that's kind of happened a little like naturally, where I wanted like sweets and I needed to like figure out what I could do with what I had. So I like have baked like chocolate cake. I baked sour cream pound cake the other day.
How did it turn out?
It came out good, but I was kind of I have high expectations because I grew up on like this one sour cream pound cake that my mom used to buy. It was not as fluffy as that one. But it was still, I finished it in one day.
I talked to Erica and Erica was like, it doesn't taste good, but I just ate half of it.
Yes. Do you know that meme where the girl takes a drink and she's like, and she goes through like many phases, facial expressions of like, that is exactly what I went through when I made that. But I finished it. But besides baking, I've been like, it's so weird. I have like 4 cameras and I don't use any of them. And I started using one film camera the other week. I feel like what's hard for me is if I feel like anything creative or that's connected to like creativity, if I take it on, I feel like I have to do more with it. Like I feel like I either have to like show it show this like skill off on social and be like, look what I did. Like I'm growing, I'm doing this. Or I have to like have some sort of output if I pick up some other creative skill. And I feel like that is something that I've been working on. I don't know. You know what? I really think it's a little dark. I think it's money. I feel it's like I'm so used to building my career out of like creative outlets and like making money out of it that I almost feel like if I'm going to pick something up, I'm just like, well, maybe I could like make money out of this, or maybe I could like do this. And I think that's what it is. I think it's more just like survival.
That's kind of kicks in. That's really interesting. You know what? I promise I hadn't thought of this for the last month or however long we've been inside, right? Where it is this idea of social media as a way for other people to understand what you're doing, right? And like, we've all been guilty of that. It's just like, oh, look at us. We're outside, or this is a new project we're hinting at, or like, here's something just to show you that we're not sitting at home doing nothing, right? But here we all are sitting around, maybe doing nothing, maybe doing something. But I have never felt in these last, you know, number of weeks, the feeling, the need to put that out there to be like, hey, and by the way, we are doing something every day, so we are promoting that, but it's not like, hey, look how hard.
Yeah, but there's no pictures of us. I think it's too depressing to take pictures. Like, I find it, like, what am I taking a picture of? You know, like, I don't want to remember this time. Like, this is not a good time. I think that, you know, when you talk about how you have four cameras sitting around, it's like, yeah, where are you going to take pictures of? Well, like the empty streets?
That's fair, right? I was reading, there's an anchor, I don't know her last name. Oh, maybe it's Brooke Baldwin, I think,
from
on CNN.
Yeah.
And I was reading, did you see the post yesterday?
No.
So she had COVID, right? And she went through the most horrible 2 weeks of her life. And she documented it so that she would remember how she felt in that moment, right? Now, by the way, it could have ended up much worse than clearly she is doing right now, because she's alive and she's, you know, recuperating.
Yeah.
But she wanted to know that, like, that was the bottom.
Well, no, but okay. And Erica, you might have something to say about this too, but like, I, for the first day that we quarantined, I wrote a journal entry. But that was the only thing I wrote. I didn't go back day two, day three, none of it. I wrote day one, and I was like, this is how I feel. And I was just like, it's so exhausting to spill all your feelings out in that way that I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I think that it just all depends on like, if it's connected to what's going on, or how connected what you're doing is to what's going on. So like, I feel like the baking had nothing to do with me like wanting to keep busy or like not wanting to read the news. Like I was just like, I want to bake a cake.
Yeah.
Or I missed that like pound cake when I was a kid. I want to make that. So I feel like that's why. And I feel like the versus the creative outlets has always been something that I've been a little like hesitant about, because I feel like this pressure of needing to like extend that outlet into like work. Like that, so it might be amplified because of what's going on, but like, to tell you the truth, the photos that I've been taking have been photos that Diego, of flowers that Diego pees on. Like, Diego loves peeing on flowers.
That's pretty apt, I think, you know?
I mean, it's my little flower boy, but like, I want to take photos of something that's like interesting, and I didn't want to see, this is what I mean. Like, I overthink a lot of like creative skills.
I agree with that.
You know, in a perfect world where there are galleries and people have gallery openings and can be within 6 feet from each other, I think that a whole exhibit around those photos, like giant photos of flowers
no
that your dog has peed on.
It.
Would
oh
be
my gosh.
Phenomenal. And
I
would go to the opening.
I would be there
like,
night
those
one.
Are my flowers.
Yeah.
Like, I feel bad if someone saw the photos and they're like, your dog has been the one that's been peeing on my flowers this entire time.
Yeah, like, next to the sign that says, like, you know,
put the address.
Curb your dog.
Keep the dog away.
Yes.
Erica.
He doesn't care. He can't read the sign. And if he did, he wouldn't care.
Why is your dog named Diego and not, as what the internet wanted, Rick Ross?
By the internet, you mean just you. Or,
right.
I don't know, Eric, did you also want to
No, I did not name? Advocate for okay. it. But afterwards, once I heard about it, I was like, I'm not mad at the idea.
Well, it's funny because there was like a time where he didn't really know his name. So we would just call him anything. Osvaldo would like switch up his name all the time, depending on like if once he had like when I first got him, he had like a little case of fleas because he's from shelter, yeah. And like Osvaldo would just call him like Fleabag for a long time, and I'm like, don't call him that because then he's gonna think that's his name. So there's a little bit of time where you guys like made that joke during that time.
That was pretty funny.
And I think I called him that twice, and he like answered to one, and once yes. He did that, I was like, never again, never yes. again am I going to try it.
My dog Rick Ross.
Oh my God. I'm so scared that when you guys visit, you're going. If that, I mean, now we don't know when that will happen, now, but when you do visit,
yeah.
We're gonna retrain him to respond to Rick Ross. Absolutely.
We were talking to a friend recently about the party that you threw. You had a nice dinner party. It was a Taco Tuesday, and you billed it as a welcome to LA party for Eric and Jeff, and that insinuated we were moving there,
which we were not.
But I love that that was the sort of bigger idea, and it was sold as that, and it was like, oh no, you're not moving here? No.
You know. All right, so listen, that's also very much indication as to, like, answering your question of have I been FaceTiming with people. I kick people out very early on when they're at my house, and I only do taco night, like, once every 4 months. So it shows you how okay I'm at, like, being alone these days. Well, but
listen,
I did say in the email that you guys were posting it, which is also, you not guys true. Did not know.
Yeah, like, it was all a surprise.
Because you guys did not know and agreed to it. But I needed the pressure to be taken off of me. So I appreciate you guys hosting without knowing.
Well, Erica, we love you. Take care of yourself out there. Take care of Diego and take care of those flowers. Stay inside as much as you can and stay creative. And we're looking forward to everything that you're going to put out. Do you want to give the people your Patreon real quick?
Yes, it's patreon.com/IllyMag. IllyMag is a site. Also, if you want to check it out,
IllyMag.
Yes. Thank you guys. Thanks for like also checking in offline. I appreciate that a lot.
No problem. Erica,
I'm
love
a
you.
Great friend, is what I want people to know.
You guys are great friends. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys for simply messaging and seeing my like cries on Twitter and just like texting and being like, are you okay, spelled just with like the letters, are you okay?
I think you're confusing me for somebody else. Wait, do you have other friends that you think I am?
Erica, we'll talk to you soon.
Don't ever change. I love you guys. I'll talk
love
to you
too. Soon. Bye. Shout out to Erica Ramirez, shout out to Chase B, and shout out to Division Jeff. I'll be back tomorrow.
We are back every day forever.
As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.